So we've been exploring some things about the Christian faith, about church, that makes us a little uneasy at times. They're uncomfortable. Things like the cross, especially when Jesus told us that we are to deny ourselves and to take up our own cross. In other words, we're to surrender ourselves to Jesus. And that can be difficult. It can be awkward at times. Or last week, we talked about loving like God loves. How that can be uncomfortable. He wants us to love even those who hurt us. Those who are against us. And this morning, we want to look at a word that I think we sometimes maybe misunderstand. And because of that, it makes us uncomfortable. And that word is holy. What do you think of when I say holy? Give as much as you can. So it's kind of like we're on this journey to improve ourselves, right? Any other thoughts? Holy.
Sacred place.
Sacred place. Holy. So, we would say that, the sanctuary, this is a holy, sacred place. Heaven is holy, a sacred place, because that's where God is, right? God's presence there and here. Holy. Any other thoughts? God is holy. Yep. What's that? Oh, we got the comedian up here in the corner. Socks. Holy socks. I get it. Does anyone mend socks anymore? I can remember, Grandma, she would mend the socks, or, you got a hole in your jeans, and by golly, there was a patch on there. Holy. Yeah. All right, well, so anyone want to be a volunteer this morning? See, our kiddos aren't here, so we'll have to substitute somebody, anybody. Don, oh, looky here. All right. Don, and if you need to sit, you can. We're not going to make you stand here. But so I brought with me some good old Reynolds wrap this morning. And so when we talk about holy, this I think will give us a little image here of maybe another way that we can look at it. So, okay. Bear with me. What do you think? Does that look like Don? Is this Don?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah. No. This is Don, right? This is an image. This is an impression of Don. Okay? Garrett, come up here a second. Still look like Don? looks a little different, huh? So when we talk about holy, what we're talking about is being Christ-like, being made in the image of Christ. And so we had this image of Don, and then we reflected this image of Garrett with Don. So now we have a Don Garrett. How's that, right? But to be holy is to have that impression, to be reflective of Christ himself, right? And so that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning. You guys can go ahead and take your seats. We want to have this impression of God on us, that others might see Jesus through us. And the great thing is it doesn't have anything to do with aluminum foil, right? I think a lot of people think that pursuing holiness is maybe kind of old-fashioned. Some might think it's weird or that it's restrictive, that when we're seeking holiness that there's no freedom, right? There's no joy. You can't have fun if you're trying to be holy. But I think in reality, in Christ, we are actually set free, right? We can be what God created us to be. Life is not about what we miss out on, but rather what we gain. It's about becoming more and more like Jesus, right? Reflecting his glory through us. So listen as Craig reads our scripture lessons this morning as we look at this idea of holiness.
I'm reading from the New International Version. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Now I'll read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but also as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
So there are a couple of ways of looking at holiness, and if we're to be honest with ourselves, probably neither one of us make us very comfortable. The first is to be set apart, to separate or to cut away. If you do a word study on what holiness means in the Bible or the word holy, this is what you'll find. It's kind of like when we find a new shirt or a new recipe or something that is just outstanding, and we say it's a cut above the rest, right? That's being holy, to be set apart. Not that I'm saying our shirts or, you know, what we fix in the kitchen is holy, but, you know, to give you an example there, that it's a cut above. It's something that we're striving for. It's to be set apart. We're not conformed to the rest of the world. Or to look at holiness in the terms of to separate, okay? I was thinking about growing up on the farm and how cream separates from milk, right? And what, the cream rises to the top. That's kind of what to be holy means, to separate, to be set apart. Holiness, when applied to God, means that what we were just singing, he is utterly unique. He's incomparable. He's matchless, without parallel. He is not like anything that we could come up with. Holiness, when applied to us, means that we're becoming more like God. when we're bearing that image of Christ. Another meaning is that to be holy is to be pure. Or I might say that pursuit of pureness. As we sang there in that hymn, only God is truly, truly holy. But yet he asks us to strive, to pursue that holiness, to be like Jesus, okay? So that image of Christ. Holiness is being set apart from anything that is impure. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. In other words, a pure life, a life in the image of Christ. For those who are not holy, those who are not in that pursuit, not striving to be set apart, will not see the Lord. So that's maybe a little different from, you know, we think of holy and, you know, well, holier than thou, and, you know, some of these concepts that we have of holiness. Holy people will see the holy God. When we set ourselves apart from this world and from all of its ways, you know, because it leads us astray, that's when we become more like Christ. And we'll see God. We'll see him in our everyday lives, and we'll see him when we die. 1 Peter, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Okay, there's that world, that conforming to the world. Don't conform to the world. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. You must be set apart. Just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. He's not saying wear holy socks, right? But to be in this pursuit of pureness, to be like Christ. Peter's referring here to the Old Testament, back in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. It says, for I am the Lord your God, you must consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. So what are we to do with this? Are you living a holy life? A life set apart from this world? A life in the image or in the reflection of Jesus? Or do you find your heart attracted to sin? Are your decisions based upon worldly ways? Back in Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and desperately sick. Who can understand it, he asks. So I think it's good for us to pause and take a step back and reflect. How are we basing our decisions? How are we living our lives? Are we living a contradiction to God's holy character? Because we were created in whose image? God's image. Brett McCracken, in our book, and he has a whole chapter in here on the uncomfortableness of holiness. Brett McCracken would say, yes, that idea of holiness is a challenge. It makes us uncomfortable. We'd much rather say, my life is so messed up, than to say, I'm striving to be holy. But that's also what makes it important. Pursuing holiness involves acknowledging our sin. It involves the necessity of repentance. Sin and repentance. We don't like talking about that, do we? But Jesus is not upping the expectation of righteousness, of this pureness, of being like him, in order to make it harder for us to enter into heaven, into his kingdom. Rather, being saved is by grace through our faith in him. It's not of our works, not of anything that we can do. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Rather, Jesus raises the bar because he wants his people to be noticeably different, to be set apart. If we're walking down the street, he wants that person on the other side to say, "Wow, look at them. Look at how they're living their life. What do they have? Look at that joy in their heart. How can I find that joy?" To be a light in this dark world. To worship God, our Creator, as a response to his grace. But as Christ followers, as Christians, we often find discomfort in being different. And that, McCracken says, can lead to hypocrisy. There's another word maybe that we don't like to talk about or to admit. Are you a hypocrite? Talk about ripping that Band-Aid off. Ouch. It hurts, doesn't it? McCracken, in his book here, quotes a professor at Biola University, and I wanted to look up what his connection to Biola University was, because he quotes a lot of different professors and folks from there. But here's what he's quoting: Eric Thoneness, a professor at Biola University. He says, "Living the Christian life involves a whole lot of faking it on the path to becoming more like Christ." Now, I really want to believe he's talking about the reality of it versus what we ought to be. Living the Christian life involves a whole lot of faking it on the path to becoming more like Christ. And then he says this. He says, "There's this idea that to live out of conformity with how I feel is hypocrisy. But that's a wrong definition of hypocrisy," Thoneness says. He says, "To live out of conformity to what I believe is hypocrisy." And then he goes on to say, "To live in conformity with what I believe in spite of what I feel, that is not hypocrisy, that's integrity." I know this is deep. Let me read that again. "To live in conformity with what I believe in spite of what I feel." Okay, so we have that foundation built. We're reading the scripture. We know what God's word says. So I know what I believe in spite of what I feel. That world pulling at us and trying to get us to do this and to do that. Okay, that's not hypocrisy. That's integrity. If I'm standing up for what I believe in despite what I feel. The idea is that this pursuit of holiness involves living in a way that often conflicts with what feels authentic. The world has distorted our view. We've become too comfortable with sin, to the point that sometimes it's how we identify with ourselves. It's how we relate to others. But the Christian life is a call to deny oneself, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. True self-denial, the denial of our false, fallen self, is not the road to self-destruction, it's the road to self-discovery. When we can pursue that holiness, pursuing that being set apart from the rest, to be separated. McCracken acknowledges how we love talking about Jesus meeting us where we're at. How many of you ever heard that? You know, just meet Jesus, you know, he'll meet you right where you're at. Okay, that's true, he does. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to discover that there's more. There's so much more. So how do you live a holy life, a life that is set apart, a life that is separated from the rest? I want to suggest three steps. Disconnect from the worldly ways. We find in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. You want to be set apart? Check what it is that's drawing you in. The Bible warns us again and again that there should be a definite line drawn between us and the world. This means our thoughts, our actions, our words, our behavior should be noticeably different. We should look like Jesus. Sadly, that's not how many Christians live. They maybe go to church on Sunday, and they act nice on Sunday, and then like the world, the rest of the week. That shouldn't be. In Hebrews 10:10, God's will was for us to be made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all time. To be set apart, to be holy, means that we're not living like the world is living. We're not thinking like the world is thinking. Instead, we're separated from the world. We're walking with God in His ways. How can we do that? I'm telling you, a lot of it has to do with what we're feeding on. If you're spending too much time watching TV, if you're spending a lot of time forwarding those tweets and those memes on social media, if you're hanging out with a lot of unbelievers, those are all going to pull at you, right? And you're struggling with this being yoked with the world, and it's going to have an effect on you. Surround yourself with the good. Surround yourself with the holy, those things that are set apart from the world. Secondly, we pursue a holy life when Paul says here to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee from evil desires. Flee from that temptation. And you can resist any temptation that comes your way. Did you know that? As Christians, you have the power. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out. He does that in many different ways. Maybe it's through worship and coming together like this. Maybe it's through reading His Word. Maybe it's through other people. People that He's put in our path along the week. The point is that we have to flee from that temptation. Don't give in to what the world is trying to pull us into. God will always provide a way. And then the third step, we know it, we've read it, we have the head knowledge, right? We need to transform that into the heart knowledge. We need to obey the Word of God. Take to heart what it is that we're reading. Life is about ordering our conduct, our relationships, the way we live with God's Word. Not just obeying some of His commandments, but all of His commands, all of the time, to the best of our human ability. And you know, the thing is, from the human side, we're going to fall, we're going to stumble. It's a challenge, I know. That's why Jesus asked God to send the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do it alone. We have that power through the Holy Spirit to flee from temptation. We have that power to obey what God says if we let Him be our guide. If you're separated to God, if you're set apart, if you're on this pursuit of holiness, then you'll obey His word. It's an act of holiness when, as we explored last week, it's motivated by love, right? Love, one of those other things, Christian love, that makes us a little uncomfortable. Because sometimes we have to love those that we don't think is very lovable. So kind of as a concluding thought, you know, holiness, this being set apart, being separated to God, it doesn't happen by accident. It requires a decision of the will. And just maybe today is that day when you say, okay, I've had enough of this world. I've tried it the world's way. But all that leads to worry and doubt and fear, uncertainty. So disconnect from those worldly things. Flee those temptations. You have the power. And read God's word. Soak it up into your heart and obey it. Then you're truly set apart. Holiness. One of the ways that Jesus has passed on to us as a means of refueling, of pursuing that holiness, is in communion. The Nashville United Methodist Church, all are invited to partake of communion. You do not have to be a member. You see, Christ instituted communion as a sacrament, as a way to remember His life, His death, His resurrection, the fact that He is with us yet today. And again, I kind of see it as this refueling station, you know, this means of grace that God has given us to meet Him. Yeah, Jesus will meet us where we're at. Communion is one of those ways. And then, okay, what do I need to change? What do I need to do to be further set apart as God is? So we invite you this morning to partake. You'll see in your bulletin, and the words will also be on the screen, kind of a responsive invitation to communion this morning. Including the Apostles' Creed, which those words will be on the screen, a statement of our faith and what we believe. So if you'd stand and join with me irresponsibly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is the table of the Lord. He invites all who love him and trust in him for their salvation to sit with him and to share in this joyful feast. We come to this table because of Jesus' command and his invitation. In remembrance of him, Jesus tells us to eat this broken bread and to drink of this cup of faith, and to keep on doing so until he comes again. In this meal, God affirms to us that our sins have been forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, where his body was given and his blood was shared for us. God also tells us that the Holy Spirit makes us one with Christ, setting us apart in the world, and in Christ, one with all other Christians from all times and all places. With Christians of all times and all places, we proclaim our faith as did the early apostles, and you'll see the words on the screen all together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Come then, people of God, to this joyful feast of our Lord. Jesus was with his disciples, and there was some bread on the table, and he took that, he asked God to bless it. He gave thanks, and he broke that bread. And he shared it. He shared it with his disciples back then. He shares it with us today. It's a way to remember that he gave his body for us. As the supper was coming toward an end, there was some wine there at the table, and he took that cup of the juice and he lifted it up and asked God to bless it. And he said, "This is my blood. This is the blood of a new covenant, a new promise that I make for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you meet. Do this until I come again and we meet at that heavenly banquet. And remember me." And so it's in these mighty acts that we remember Christ's saving grace, what he did on the cross for us. He defeated death itself, that we might have life everlasting, that we might pursue being like him in our nature, in our manner, in our life, to be set apart, to be holy. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing upon this bread and this juice of the vine. May they be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ for the whole world. Lord, we pause to recognize that we have fallen short in so many ways. but with your Spirit's help, you can lift us up, dust us off, and help us in that pursuit of holiness. No matter how uncomfortable it is, we've got the power through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all of his holy people. Amen.